Good morning, everyone. You may have noticed that for the prelude, it says today's prelude time will be used to learn our opening hymn, Hallelujah. So we're in for some teaching time with Andrew, which really is my favorite time. So I invite you to take your hymnal and turn to hymn 236. And this is our opening hymn, Hallelujah. And as you will turn to the page, you'll see it is simply one set of text, Halle, Halle, Hallelujah, over and over again. And as you also may know, Easter was about a month ago, but we're still in the Easter season. And it's difficult to sustain that Easter joy for an entire 7 weeks. So one thing we do musically is have the opening hymn be something triumphant and exciting. And this week we found this tune in the hymnal, Hallelujah, a Caribbean melody that we're using for our opening hymn. So we're going to learn it with a little call and response, and then we will bring a little Caribbean paradise to this room this morning. So if you would repeat after me, it goes like this. Halle, halle, hallelujah, you go. Halle, halle, hallelujah, I go. Halle, halle, hallelujah, you go. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Well, there, it's halfway done. And then this next phrase, you know, I go. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Let me hear it. Halle, halle, hallelujah. And the end goes, hallelujah, hallelujah. You go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, this melody, Caribbean melody, you have to imagine an island, you have to imagine steel pan drums and a marimba and a guitar, and you say, well, Andrew, we're in southeastern Pennsylvania in a church, what are we going to do about that? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing we can do while we sing this is we can move from side to side. So I now invite you to stand as we're going to bring a little Caribbean paradise to our opening hymn. I'm not kidding, I'm really not kidding. So, if you will, on your own, I just want you to sway from right, left, just back and forth, and let's sing with me. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good. So that's our opening hymn. We're going to repeat that over and over. And in this infectious, Christ has risen and here with us, island spirit, I do want you, the more you sing it, to look at your neighbor and smile and remember that the risen Christ is certainly in fanfares of trumpet and choir, but also from melodies around the world like this Caribbean Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody. Have a seat.
Good morning, church. So we made it through the aerobic portion of this morning's service. I love it. A very warm welcome to each and every one of you who are gathered here in the presence of Christ as we come together to worship, to reflect, to sing, to be reminded of the gracious love that fills us and our planet. If you are visiting with us this morning, a very, very warm welcome to you. We are very glad that you are with us on this beautiful Sunday morning. So raise your bags. All right, yep. There you go. The reusable grocery bags have been distributed by the creation stewards here at St. John's, and we're grateful for their thoughtfulness and their awareness of the importance of our environment. So thank you, creation's stewards. Some announcements. If you're interested in attending a musical today, Crazy for You, an Ira Gershwin production, will be hosted by the Lansdale United Methodist Church, and Alan Malahosky and Cindy Reese will be playing in the Pitt Orchestra. An invitation for folks to consider volunteering as a greeter here at St. John's during the months of May and June. You can sign up in the narthex. And the basket raffle, is back. And this is a St. John's tradition. There are several dates to remember. The commitment and basket theme are due on April 28th, which is today. And then during the week of May 5 through 10, your baskets are due here at the church. May 12th, the ticket sales begin. And then on June 9th, well, there's the church picnic and the basket drawing. So look forward to more information in the next few weeks about this. And you can also look on our website or take a look at the e-herald, which is sent out to most people. I'd like to invite Susan Fitzpatrick to come forward. She has an update.
Good morning. I'm coming before you this morning on behalf of the elders and the search and call committee with both an announcement and an update. So first, the announcement. As you are aware, Reverend Dale is retiring in a few weeks as our interim senior pastor. We've been looking for ways to celebrate and honor Reverend Dale's retirement, and as previously announced, there will be a luncheon and cake to celebrate with him after the service on May 19th. And anybody who would like to help or volunteer to bring in side dishes or anything should speak with Debbie Hendricks. We were also looking for something else that Dale might enjoy doing, and as many of you know, Reverend Dale is an avid bicyclist. So, weather permitting, Saturday, May 18th, we will have a bike and brew, as it's being dubbed. Hopefully, we will have a warm, beautiful spring day, and we can bike, walk, or run on the Perkiomen Trail, followed by an informal social at Trouble's End Brewing in Collegeville. You may ride bikes from Collegeville to Schwenksville as a group, or bike, walk, or run on your own as far as you want to go. We will all return to Trouble's End Brewing for an informal social and raise a cold one and wish Dale a happy retirement. Not up for exercise that day, you are welcome to come just for the social gathering at the brew pub. Trouble's End Brewing is a fairly large venue and has a full bar and restaurant with seating both indoors and outdoors, and people drop in off the trail all the time. However, if we have a large group, we want to let them know we are coming. So there are some sign-up sheets in the narthex and the elevator lobby. These sheets have all the details with respect to date, time, and place. We hope you can join us. Second, I want to give you a brief update on search and call. The search and call committee has been meeting and busy working since the 12th of March. Our first 6 weeks or so have been spent getting to know each other better, putting a plan together, agreeing on decision-making and operating rules, setting up electronic operations, and reading and familiarizing ourselves with St. John's profile and all the materials and resources that the Conference and National Church provide, as well as a book on governance and ministry that Dale is leading us through some discussions about. Did I mention reading? And the amount of information is a bit overwhelming, but everyone felt much better after meeting with Reverend Kevin McLemore, the conference minister of Search and Call, near the end of March. He expertly walked us through the materials and the recommended process. He also advised us about the shortage of ministers and strongly encouraged us to keep open minds and to do initial Zoom interviews with candidates unless we saw red flags or they were very clearly not a fit. He told us the process could take quite a while and not to get discouraged. You may have heard Pleasantville UCC had a posting for about 18 months. Hopefully, the Holy Spirit will not take so long to send someone our way, but just wanted to adjust any expectations in case. We have organized into three work streams, which we call the communications, questions, and evaluations work streams for short. There will be a couple more as we get further into the process. These work streams are doing the work of communicating and setting up interviews, developing the interview questions and evaluations, ratings, rubric, and formats. Our church profile was posted on April 10th. We currently have two candidates that we have invited for those initial Zoom interviews. We are doing a couple of practice interviews first, including one tomorrow night, and we'll set dates for those initial candidate interviews within the next week or so. I've glossed over a lot of the details here and not spoken about all the steps in the full process in the interest of time today. If you want to learn more about that, be sure to attend the congregational meeting on the 9th of June, where I'll give you a more detailed presentation. Also, the committee will have a table at social hour today right behind the doors here in the library. So stop by to learn more about our process if you are interested, and tell us about what's in your mind, what's most important to you in a new pastor, or what concerns you. We'd love to hear from you. Do keep in mind, just a reminder, that we can't discuss anything about the candidates themselves due to confidentiality rules. And please continue to keep us and the process in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Just a quick reminder that our fellowship time following worship today will be over here in the library. We hope that you'll take an opportunity to connect with each other and help yourself to some very nice refreshments. So we've come here today to be refreshed in the Spirit, to find ourselves touched by the vast love of God, who is remaking the world and inviting us to become participants in that remaking. And so now we center ourselves, we take that deep breath, and we gather to worship. Would you join me? And would you please stand if you are able in our gathering prayer? We gather here, O Lord, for you, the vine, to nourish us. May we, the branches, draw our strength from you and grow in harmony, unity, and love. May we find nourishment through our rootedness in the life, teachings, and love of the risen Christ. Receive the fruits of our worship and be glorified, O God. Amen.
I want to invite you to join me in our responsive confession. Gracious God, we come to you aware of our failings and conscious that we have tried to live in our own strength. Forgive us and reconnect us to your vine of love. We have resisted the challenge of change and not trusted your truth. Forgive us and reconnect us to your vine of compassion. We have rooted ourselves in our own needs and desires, not in your word and will. Forgive us and reconnect us to your vine of truth. We have looked for quick fixes and not kingdom-shaped growth. Forgive us and reconnect us to your vine of mercy. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Friends, God is a gardener, growing and tending vines of love, compassion, truth, and mercy. When we remain connected to the vine through worship, prayer, and the confession of our sins, we are forgiven and pruned of all that holds us back from growing and bearing fruit. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's scripture comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of God for the people of God. Well, I'd like to invite the children, young folks, come on up. How's everybody today? Beautiful day, huh? All right. So, can you tell me what a vine is? Yeah, it's a part of nature. Grows near trees. Do they grow in a straight line? No?
No.
How do they grow, William?
They grow like in wavy ways.
The vines grow in wavy ways. Absolutely. Anything else you want to tell me about a vine?
They grow fruit.
They grow fruit. What kind of fruit? Grapes. Lily? Yeah, spikes? Yeah. Hi. Grapes? Yeah. Have a seat. Hey, Freya. So, have you ever got caught in a vine?
Yes. No.
Yes?
When I was hunting.
When you were hunting?
I got stuck to my clothes.
Yeah, the vine got stuck to your clothes. Yes, that can happen. Yeah. You know, in our reading this morning from the Bible, we learn that Jesus is a vine. And believe it or not, every one of us is connected to each other because we're connected to Jesus. Isn't that pretty cool? So I guess it's we're sort of an invisible vine, right? But we're all connected. So what I thought I would do this morning is sort of maybe figure out how to connect us. Someone holds it. I'm going to ask Andrew to come over here, Andrew, because I need someone who can be the holder of the vine. Yep. And then William, I'm going to start with you. Now you need to hold it on, but then you need to give it to somebody else here in the circle. Hold your piece, though. Don't let go of your piece. Okay, give it to somebody else. All right. And, give it to somebody else. Hold on to your piece. Everybody holding on? Oh, this is nice. Yeah.
Hold on. Freya, do you want to be connected? You think about it, let me know. So, okay, here we go. We're going to do this. We're going to connect there. So here you go. I want you to hold and just, you know, yeah, keep connecting. Yeah, there you go. Just grab on. Yep, there it goes. Yep, oh, that's wonderful. Oh, yes. So when this is all done, I'm going to ask for a volunteer to roll up the string. Yeah, Lily's going to do it. So, yeah, that's great. So we're all connected. Yep, Freya, it's going to come back to you. Do you want to go get it? You don't know. Okay, she's thinking about it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, there you go. That was a good throw, Mark. All right. Well, we've got all kinds of aerobics going on today. Well, let me just offer a prayer, okay? Just. I think I've made my point. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus, because we are all connected to Jesus. He connects us to each other, and he connects us to your world. And we give you thanks for the love that connects us all. And we pray it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much. Now, if someone wants to help Lily wind up, oh, William, do you want to help Lily? And maybe Freya, do you want to go get? Yeah. Oh, there it goes. It's coming back. All right. Thank you all. Well done.
Jesus, you are so.
want to invite you to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, we do indeed give you thanks for the ways that we are all connected to you and to one another. God, there is truth in your word. And I pray that your word might be in the midst of mine, and that that truth might fall upon ears and hearts and minds that are open to receive it. Amen. Perhaps you have heard of the phrase, ride or die, when referring to one who is nearest, dearest, and closest to you. But in case you haven't, a ride or die friend is someone who will stand by you no matter what. Through the good, the bad, the ugly, amidst the ups and downs, they are there. Ride or die speaks to a sacred sort of bond, a deep sense of connectedness, a loyalty, a steadfastness. It embodies that idea of with, which, as some of you know, is my favorite four-letter word of faith that assures us that we don't have to do this thing called life alone. I bet all of us have a ride or die person. Maybe it's a work friend, a church friend, a childhood friend, a spouse, a sibling, a cousin, whoever it is. I hope you're thinking of them now, and I hope it brings a smile to your face. It was ride or die, both the words and the whole concept, as well as our scripture reading from the Gospel of John, that inspired my sermon title for this morning, Abide or Die. Now I know Abide or Die is a pretty intense sermon title out of context. In fact, I was a little jarring to type it into the bulletin this week. But I think you'll see that as we dig into this text, that it is the heart of our gospel message, and that Jesus offers these sentiments in the least threatening and most invitational way possible. Abide is such a great word and an even better concept. We don't use that word much outside of church, but I think we should. Abide, just like that ride or die concept, speaks to a sacred bond. It too is about connectedness, loyalty, and steadfastness, core tenets of our faith, but not always core tenets of our independent, self-made, do-it-yourself culture. Debbie Thomas, an author and commentator who I turn to time and time again, remembers her father taking her 2-year-old daughter out for ice cream. After parking his car and lifting his granddaughter out of her car seat, he offered her his hand and said, "Now you have to hold tightly until we're inside the ice cream shop. This is a busy street." His granddaughter took one look at his outstretched hand, wrapped her left hand around her own right one, and said, "No, thank you. I can hold my own." If you've ever had a young child in your life in some capacity, you know that at some point, they wake up one morning and decide that they can do everything themselves, and are in fact highly offended if you try to do anything for them, even things that are dangerous or they clearly cannot do. It's the I can do it myself phase. Some of us never grow out of it. I love what pastor and author Nadia Boltz-Weber says as she reflects upon the challenge of today's gospel reading. She writes, "I'm nothing if not independent. Reportedly, my first sentence was, do it self. But vines and branches off of vines, well, they're all tangled and messy, and it's sometimes hard to know what is what. Not only are we dependent on Jesus, but our lives are uncomfortably tangled up together. The Christian life is a viney, branchy, jumbled mess of us and Jesus and others. Christianity, she says, is a lousy religion for the do-it-self set. Yes, a life of faith is not a DIY project. And nowhere does Jesus teach more clearly that we are not independent do-it-yourselfers than here in today's gospel reading. You see, nowhere does Jesus demonstrate more clearly that we cannot go at it alone. Today's gospel reading is all about being connected. Connected to the vine, remaining connected and staying connected throughout this life journey we are all traveling. And the deep loss we suffer when we don't stay connected. See, abide or die. As we enter into today's gospel reading, we find ourselves back on that evening of Maundy Thursday in John's account of the Jesus story. Jesus knows he is about to die, leaving the disciples behind, so he is urging them to remain in him, to stay connected to him, and remain in fellowship with one another. Jesus is saying to the disciples and to each one of us, stay connected, live in relationship to me, and stay connected and live in relationship to one another. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. Continue on in my teachings and example and remain in fellowship with each other. And he gives us this wonderful image of the vine and the branches, one of my favorites in all of Scripture. Now, if you can picture in your mind a wild grapevine, or any vine for that matter, one thing you will soon realize is that vines and branches are tangled and messy. They don't grow in a straight line. And the truth of the matter is that our lives, our families, our churches, our places of work or study or play, anywhere humans are really, well, they're all messy places too. And sometimes it is hard to know what is what. Life is viney and branchy and jumbled. And yet, when we look at a cultivated grapevine, we can see that the vine grower has put an anchor to the main vine. The branches are tangled but sorted out, trained, shaped. There's often a wire structure that supports the vine from below and from above. All of the dead branches have been removed, and these vines and branches that are tended so carefully, so purposefully, those are the ones that end up producing abundant quantities of grapes. With this image that Jesus shares, he shows us that Christ is the source of all life. Not income, not power, not social media, not social status. Our very existence is dependent on God, who nurtures and cultivates us. We have an important place and role to play. But we are not and cannot be the vine that gives life to all. Neither are we the vine grower, the one who cultivates, stakes, supports, and yes, prunes the branches, though sometimes we try to claim this authority. We are the branches. And if we are to flourish, we need to stay connected to the vine. We need to abide and remain dependent. There is a sense of loss, I suppose, in realizing that we are not our own vine grower. But what a tremendous amount there is to gain when we allow God to be. Abiding in Christ means admitting that we are not independent, do-it-yourselfers who can boast saying, I can do it myself, or I did it my way. Abiding in Christ means accepting that we are dependent on Christ and on one another, It means graciously receiving the support Christ offers us, most often through the caring of our brothers and sisters and siblings in Christ. Abiding means humbling ourselves. It also means consenting to being pruned. It means letting go of the things that hinder our growth in love, things like fear and hatred, greed and jealousy, grudges and resentment, shame and guilt, and all the other viney, branchy, tangled things that get in the way. And abiding in Christ is always about belonging. Belonging to the one who gives us life, life that truly matters. You see, abiding in Christ is all about relationship. The relational connectedness Jesus is speaking of is a connectedness that is only found through experiencing life together within the context of a faith community. And yes, living in this kind of relationship, abiding in Christ and staying connected to the vine, means it's not always going to be easy. In fact, life in the vineyard can be downright difficult and frustrating. Living in relationship with others requires give and take. Such living requires us to be vulnerable. Living in relationship with others means that there will be ups and downs as we travel this journey together. Living life together in community means we have to put up with real people, some of whom are nice and some of whom, well, they want to be sour grapes, as someone in our Wednesday evening Bible study put it. And let's also be honest about the fact that sometimes we are the sour grape. The truth is, real, authentic community is something we often would rather shy away from because it can be uncomfortable. And because we do not like to be uncomfortable, we are sometimes like that little child holding their own hand saying, "I can do it myself, thank you." But today, Jesus invites us to be real, to be deeply connected, to be planted in the very life of God, to be in an intimate relationship with him and with one another. Jesus invites us to be honest about who we are and what role we play. Jesus invites us to come together and to confess our hopes and fears, to share our dreams and disappointments, to be honest about our accomplishments and our failures, to be open about our blessings and our sins, to let go of control and to discover the joy of being dependent on him. Sounds a lot like church to me. In Jesus, we are invited into deep, authentic relationship with one another so that we can discover we are accepted, loved, and forgiven by God, who loves the whole world enough to send his Son. It is by being connected, being planted in God, and participating in this community that we learn what real love is all about. When we stay connected to the vine and live together in authentic community, the love that happens and is born enables us to then love others the way we have been loved. It is the kind of love that brings others in and grafts them to the vine. And it is that love that sends us out and makes a difference in people's lives, both here and around the world, as love becomes the fruit of a living relationship with God and others. Now, when we are disconnected, or when something severs the vine of relationships, things like hatred and prejudice, abuse, closed-mindedness, the insistence on being right, well, then there is a death of sorts. Our spirits, both as individuals and as a body, suffer, wither, and cease to thrive and grow and live. Abide or die is not a threat, but there is a lot in our world today that threatens to separate us
from what Christ has connected us to. Abide or die is an invitation into the vineyard, into deep relationship, into connectedness that, if we let it, will bear fruit enough to feed the world. May it be so. Amen.
So much going on in the world today. So much going on in our individual lives. So much going on in the lives of our friends and fellow members of the vine. Some things I want to share with you this morning regarding those who are a part of the St. John's Vineyard. Sarah Hogan lost her father this past week, and our thoughts and prayers are certainly with Sarah Hogan and her husband, Mark, Katie, and Danny, and Sarah's entire family. Jeannie Wilkinson is at Einstein Hospital with great hope to be able to come home tomorrow. So we're hoping and praying this is a short-term visit. Also want to remember and keep in mind Sumiko Borum's mother who's struggling with some health issues. So we want to surround Sumiko with our prayers as well. As always, we are prayerful and mindful of the search and call committee here at St. John's. They're doing incredibly diligent, prayerful work. And so we are mindful of them this morning and every day. And then lastly, some really good news. Liz and Matt Rivett celebrate their wedding anniversary on May 1st. Congratulations to you. As I said, there is so much going on in the world. This is the time when we center, we pause, and we allow the Spirit to speak. So let us now pray. O creating, growing, and sustaining God, all life flows through you. And without you, we are nothing. Today we give you thanks for breathing life into us and into your beloved communities and into your world. O Holy One, we were created for relationship, for connection, for mutuality and cooperation. And you've created this invisible web of wholeness. And your love is the glue. God, we confess it's hard for us sometimes to grasp just how Jesus abides and lives and guides us. It's hard, O God, for us to fathom the shape and contours of the vineyard which you are growing on behalf of all creation. But this we know, O God, we are part of the vine. No branch is more important than others. No shoots deserving more privilege than those alongside. Each one of us created with unique abilities, each called to exercise the gifts and graces that were given to us. And being a part of this vine suggests no hierarchy, except for Christ, who is the source of all power, love, and wholeness. And on this day, God, we celebrate the fruits of faithfulness in its many varieties. Family, workplace, community, and neighbor, all of it is the fertile soil upon which you ask us to care and support our fellow citizens. And yes, God, we are intertwined with society. And yet we are called out to serve and to partner in justice. O Holy One, grant us the courage we sometimes lack. Grant us the clarity we desperately need. And grant us the compassion so necessary to show forth your grand purpose for our lives. We trust you, God, as the master grower, the one who prunes our pride and reshapes our lives. Because, God, we're prone to become undisciplined, unfocused, uncaring. And we trust our lives to your care, removing our dead and decaying habits and our careless indifference. Renew our growth and provide us with wisdom and insight. God, there seems to be unrest everywhere, from college campuses to warring countries to tensions between neighbors a society that is conflicted and fearful. And we are often bombarded with messages urging us to take sides, to see life strictly in terms of black and white, to fuel fires of anger and resentment. And yet, God, we're so often heartbroken when we witness violence and unrest. Holy One, hear our prayers as we pray for an end of war between Israel and Gaza. Hear our prayers as we pray for peace between Russia and Ukraine. Help us, God, model the way of peace in the way we treat those both near and far. We lift before you this morning your entire world, and in particular, Sarah and Mark Hogan. We lift before you, God, the Search and Call Committee. We lift before you, Ginny Wilkinson. We lift before you, Sumiko Borum's mother. And we celebrate with you, O God, Liz and Matt Rivett. There are so many on our minds, so many in our hearts, and so, God, we pause now to share that which is deep within, that you are wanting to hear. O Holy One, our prayers come spoken and thought. They come with words and they come with a deep sigh from within. You hold them all, you hear them all, as you hold us and your entire world. And we pray it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are all part of this invisible web of wholeness and love. And one of the ways that we give that tangible expression is through our gifts and our giving. So we will now receive our morning offering.
Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the gifts that have been shared, for the opportunity to share them, for the hearts and hands that gave this morning. God, we give you thanks for all the ways we are connected to one another and to you, through gifts and giving, through our presence, through prayer, through love. God, we ask your blessing of wisdom and guidance as we seek to use these gifts in ways that are good for not only our vineyard, but for all of creation. We give you thanks, O God. Amen. Before you leave this morning, I want to invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. Find someone you haven't seen in a while, or perhaps someone you've never met. Let them know you are glad they are here. Then I want to invite you all to head to the library and perhaps even spill outside. I think it's supposed to be an absolutely beautiful day. I hope it's warmed up. To share in fellowship time with one another. And then as you go out into the world to be branches, do so knowing that you are surrounded by and rooted in the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen.